Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Welcome everyone to the house of the Lord. Welcome to your Father's house. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. Welcome all of you right now joining us online. Thank you so much for tuning. Thank you so much for following us, for watching. As I've been saying lately, it is my desire, it is my wish that the Holy Spirit will speak to you directly and not me. It's my wish that you would see the Lord Jesus for yourself, that you will have a personal encounter with him and not myself. This is my desire. But nonetheless, thank you so much for tuning in. I do know that sometimes people watch after the fact, after the live stream. That's perfectly fine. Thank you so very much. And please know that we're always an email away, a phone call away. As of late, we have received a good amount of prayer requests. You're all welcome to submit a prayer request, a call in. I just ask that you would call us back when the Lord does a great and mighty thing in your life. We are also looking to hear the testimonies. And testimonies have come in. But this is just a reminder. Give the Lord praise, give him glory, and testify of the good works that he has done in your life. Amen. For the honor and glory of his name. I have quite the scripture list here this evening. And I would like to get started right away. So let's start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we exalt you this evening. Lord, we worship you. Thank you, Lord, so much for being with us, for guiding us, Lord, for leading us. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who speaks to us, Lord, on a daily basis, who leads us, Lord, through all areas of life. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for everyone who's here tonight and everyone, Lord, that's watching right now online. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will open up our minds and our understanding to know what the Spirit is saying to the church this evening. Lord, be glorified in our midst. Be magnified. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So what is today? Yes, it is Wednesday. Until midnight. Until midnight. And what is Wednesdays? That's right. The battle. The battle is already won. That's exactly right. Why? Because the battle is already won. There's no point of arguing. There's no point of disagreement. It's won. It's over and done with. Today, the Lord placed it in my heart to speak about something that is essential for us to understand and to know that the battle is already won. It's fundamental. It's crucial. It's necessary. And we must live it. Not live it, but live it. I caught myself there for a moment. The title for this evening's message is Faith Living. Faith Living. And faith is something that is extremely important for all of us to have. As of recent, I've been having several conversations with people in the topic of faith. Faith for a lot of people, faith for Christians, unfortunately, is a topic that is debated, that is spoken about, and is taught, but yet a lot of people simply do not get it. They simply do not have a grasp on it. They have to, you know, they have to ask for faith and ask for wisdom, and it's something that, I'll just put it this way, it doesn't come natural. I was doing a devotional, and I concluded towards something that really made sense to me. And I'm not going to go deep into this right now, but I'm just going to give you a briefing on it. To practice faith is to want. Straight to the point. If you want to serve the Lord, if you want to walk by faith, if you want to be used by God, that want is the driving force of your faith. As plain as I could make it, plain Jane. Your desire, your want is your faith. And if you think about it, if you want to do some, if you have some sort of expectations, if you want an outcome to happen, if you are sure that something is going to happen, if A plus B equals C and you're sure of that, you're going to pursue it. You're going to do it. Right? True or false? Yesterday I was having a conversation after service, and I love using this illustration, which is the illustration of the bus stop. You expect to catch a bus every single day at 7:45 in the morning. And if you catch the bus at 7:45 in the morning, or if you catch that bus, you're bound to be at work on time, which is before 9, right? That's like an hour and 15 minutes travel time. You catch one bus. I rode public transportation for some time, and on the bus stop, there's a little box, like a little square, and it's long like this, right? And there is printed the bus times. Now, you know, people have apps, you have access to this on your phone, but it prints out the time that the buses are going to come on the weekdays, on the weekends, and also holiday hours. Very fine print. It's like a long list. And it also has, I think it has the bus number. So sometimes a bus stop might have 2, 3, maybe 4 different routes. They stop there, but then they, you know, deviate. So it's several buses that come, so bus number such and such are coming this time, this, etc. Well, you get up in the morning, you take a shower, you have your breakfast, and you walk to the bus stop expecting that bus to get there at 7:45. Sometimes it gets there at 7:41. If it's raining, if it's snowing, if there's an accident, it might get there at 7:50. But it gets there. And you get up every single morning, and you walk there, and you catch that bus, and you sit there, and you're waiting for that bus to come, but you're not asking every single person that walks by, is this bus coming? Is this bus coming? Do you think the bus is going to come today? Have you had any bad luck with the bus not showing up here? Right? These things don't cross your mind. You just go and you do it, and you know that that bus is going to come, whether it comes early or comes late. But it's going to be there. Especially when there's a post-it sign right here saying that it's going to come. You're basically practicing your faith right now on public transportation. Not that there's nothing wrong with this. I'm not preaching against it. But I'm trying to give you a picture of faith in action. You do it. And if you knew that this bus is a hit or miss, you know, it's left me stranded several times there waiting, it didn't show up, more often times than not, you wouldn't get up and go to that route. You'd probably go to a different stop and catch that same bus or catch a different route. Amen? Let me show you a very important verse that speaks to our faith walk and how we should live every single day. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I'll give you a moment to turn the page there. Give me a moment real quick. Amen. Hey, praise God. Galatians 2:20. Thank you. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Are we there? Amen. All right, I'm ready. And the Word of God says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Amen. Here the word of the Lord says, I have been crucified with Christ. We're going to break this down, this verse down into intimate detail here. It goes on to say, I no longer live for myself. It says, it is no longer I who live, right? I'm dead, not in the literal sense. It says, Christ lives in me. What this shows me right now is that the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross was the salvation that I needed, the separation from the law, which was before our Lord Jesus came to the earth. And the apostle right now depicts a parallel between our Lord's course and ours. There's a parallel right now. Our Lord's sacrifice was substitutionary. And thus, when our Lord was crucified, and we then accepted his death for the forgiveness of our sins, it is as though we were crucified. And now all our transgressions and all our iniquities, all our sins is fully paid for. It's very important that you accept the Lord as your Lord and Savior in your heart. Now, I don't just want to simply leave it right there. The parallel here does not end right here and right now. Sacrifice was a way of life for our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is to become now our way of living. Our way of life. You see, every single time that we obey the instructions of the Lord, as part of his purpose, without us resisting, without us giving in to our natural human feelings, did you know that we are sacrificing ourselves to God and to the purpose that he has for your life in sacrificial living? Every single time that we sacrifice ourselves, we do certain things for the Lord, right there is a picture of sacrificial living. And that is the beginning of your faith walk. Every time we sacrifice our time and energy to serve rather than to pursue our own interest, we are following the pattern shown in the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ's life. We are to strive to live just as he lives, because the Bible tells us for us to be like the Lord Jesus. And thus, right then and there, that is daily sacrificial living. This is what it looks like. I was crucified with the Lord, and I live for him every single day. It is not my life that I live. It is his life that I am right now officially partaking of. Have you ever stopped and thought about things that way? The life I live right now in the flesh is one of faith in my Lord. The God who loves me and made it possible for me to live by faith. The sacrifice on the cross made it possible for me to have that type of life. The sacrifice on the cross made it possible for me to have this faith life. The Bible then says, "The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You see, here depicts how we ought to live. It also shows what God did for me in order for me to have everlasting life, in order for me to be a winner through him. One thing that we must understand, every single one of us, is that our God reigns. Yes? Our God reigns over everything, but we govern. We govern through him. Our God is ruler. Our God is Lord. If you look at it, let's go, as like Sarah would say, let's back the train a little bit. God created, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, right? And then God created all things, and then God created man. What was the very next thing that he did? He placed man in charge of everything. We're right there. I know. You're following. You're with me. God made Adam in charge of every single thing on earth, and he said, name every single creature. And that's exactly what he did. And he put Adam in charge on every single thing that there was, and then he placed a law. He said, from this tree, you shall not eat the tree of life. For the day that you eat from it, you shall die. That was the rule. A rule was set in place. But God placed it on man to be in charge of his creation, to govern his creation. And this is why on the Sunday morning services now, the Lord has placed it in my heart to preach about divine ruling. This is another reason why the battle is already won. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Yes. Amen? So God reigns, but his people, we govern under his power through the Holy Spirit. Let me show you right now, Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. It says, "But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith." You see here, this is an Old Testament prophecy right now that is being fulfilled in the book of Galatians. We're talking about faith tonight. We're talking about faith living. And the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. This is something that has been set in place hundreds of years before this was ever written. I want to bring your attention right now to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. May I have that, please? "Behold the proud. His soul is not upright with him, but the just shall live by his faith." Notice that? The just shall live by their individual faith, by his faith. You understand there? The H is non-capital. It's not capitalized. Meaning, you and I, we are the just. We are the redeemed. This is how we ought to live. Here in this particular story, because the soul of the king of Babylon was lifted up with pride, he would die. But the godly remnant of Israel would live by faith. Here in verse 4, it's quoting three times the New Testament right now. Three different times in the New Testament, the same thing is spoken over and over again. The three parts of the verse, which are these: the just is one, shall live is two, by faith is three, go well with the emphasis of the three contexts that we see in the New Testament. Let me show you those three. The very first one is Romans 1:17. Romans 1:17 emphasizes the just, and it says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." For in the righteousness of God, in His holiness, in His grace, in His righteousness, this is how all these things are revealed to us, from faith to faith. God's righteousness is revealed in the gospel on the grounds of one absolute thing. And that one thing is faith, which is the absolute condition, folks, for salvation. It's the absolute condition for us to be saved. And it is only in effect to those who believe. You see, when we give our lives to Jesus, it's by faith that we worship Him, that we serve Him. It is by faith, knowing that our names is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It is by faith that we do what we do, knowing that His promises in His Word is true, and that the Lord is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. All these things are done by faith. The next verse, which we're going to repeat, is Galatians 3:11, which emphasizes faith in itself. May I have that, please? "But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith." This verse here, which we covered just a moment ago, emphasizes faith. And the third verse that I want to show you, from the reflection of Habakkuk, is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. May I have that, please? And the word of the Lord says, "Now the just shall live by faith." But here's something important for us to all understand, and we're going to talk about that for just a few minutes. "But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in that individual." There's something for us to learn here tonight. Here, the Word of God is emphasizing shall live. We will. We will live by faith. The literal rendering in Habakkuk's context is this: by his faith, the just shall live. By your faith. It could also be paraphrased as such: the justified, by faith, one shall live. This is what Habakkuk is saying right now. You see, there is no two ways about that. We will live by faith. I purposely didn't add Romans where it says, Hebrews. "Without faith it is impossible to please God," because we know that. Here the Lord is saying, you will live by faith if you want to please me. And if not, my soul is going to draw back from you. Imagine that. God is going to remove His presence. He's going to remove His hand over your life. He's going to allow certain things to happen for the simple fact that we are not exercising our faith in God. If we can have faith on a little plaque that's on a bus stop, because it tells us that the bus is going to show up at this time and you make sure you're there early so you don't miss it, why is it that we cannot have faith in every single thing that this book says? The Word of God. The Holy Word of God. Co-Pastor Marshall made a reference maybe a couple of months ago on a sermon that she was preaching. She said, when the doctor tells you something, you believe it with all of your heart, don't you? You believe that doctor's report. And whatever he says, if it's good news, boy, you go home happy. Happy as all can be. You go and you call your girlfriend and you call your guy friend or you call whoever it might be, your bestie. Say, hey, the doctor say that I'm doing much better. Things are going great. Whether you feel it or not, whether you're still feeling the symptoms or not, all of a sudden you are in such a good mood that the doctor gave you that positive report. Or the doctor could give you a negative report, and then that just puts you down and out, right? Simply because of that negative report. And sometimes their diagnosis is wrong, right? It's a wrong diagnosis. Sometimes you don't even have what they say you have. They totally missed the bullseye. But you believe. You have trust in whatever they say. It could be a stranger. It could be a specialist that you met for the very first time. You believe. How about the Word of God? Is it starting to make sense why the just will live? We shall. We will live by faith. Amen? And how the Lord is going to be a little bit upset at you if in case you do anything contrary to that? The word of the Lord says, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in that person. Imagine the deity, the all-powerful God, who called everything into existence by his simple words. Now, we do not please him because we don't have faith in his word. We do not practice. We do not live by faith. Let me show you something right now, what it looks like for the Lord to draw back from someone who lacks faith. I'm going to compare it to Psalms chapter 5, verse 4. May I have that, please? It says, for you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. Evil should not be in the presence of God. The Lord is not going to tolerate wickedness. If the Lord is saying right now that his soul will draw back, will have no pleasure from you because you drew back, he's considering it evil. He's considering not right. But here's the turnaround. Here's the turnaround for all of those who trust in the Lord. Every single person who fears God, who trusts in him, who glorifies him, who walks the life of faith. I want to show you right now Psalms 147, verse 11. Here's the turnaround. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those whose hope, to those who hope in his mercy. Here's what the Lord loves. Here is what he likes. He takes pleasure when we serve him with all of our hearts. He takes pleasure when we walk in fear of him. In those who have their hopes in God, Lord, I don't see your hand right now, but I know you're there. I don't see, Lord, your hand right now, but I know that your mercy is all over me. Yes. Amen? Amen? It might be 7:45 on your clock and the bus is not there, but you know that bus is coming and you're going to stand right there till that bus shows up. The word of the Lord is saying, and those who hope on his mercy, the Lord takes pleasure in you. Let me also show you in the same content, Psalms 149, verse 4. This is what it says. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will what? Beautify the humble with salvation. You know, I like this verse. Earlier today, I said, Lord, thank you for this verse. I could relate to this verse. The Lord takes pleasure in those who trust in him. Do you ever notice how everyone wants to befriend a prayer warrior? Everybody wants to befriend, say, a prophet, a prophetess, a man of God. I know several preachers. Some of them are traveling evangelists. Others are pastors. They will not surround themselves with anyone that has less of an anointing than they do. You know? They're always surrounded by prayer warriors. They're always surrounded by intercessors. They're always surrounded by anointed men of God. Right? They love their company. And even us. You know, we love and we respect a woman of God, a man of God. You know what you call that? Favor. Beauty. People with a meek spirit, a humble spirit. You always want to befriend them. You always take care of them. You always speak nice things to them. You respect them. There is a particular type of aura. There's a particular type of blessing that comes when the Spirit of God is upon someone. It shines. It radiates. It's absolutely handsome. It's absolutely beautiful when an individual seeks the Lord with all of their heart for everything that they do. You notice the difference between the two types of people. One who is and one who's not. The Lord says that he will beautify the humble with salvation. Equally, Psalms 90, verse 17. May I have that, please? Listen to this. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. You know, originally I had titled this message, The Benefits of Faith Living. And the Lord told me to switch. He's like, no, just do faith living. But there are several benefits. I'll just say it like this. There are several benefits of us living by faith. The Lord is going to bless your bread. The Lord is going to bless the work of your hands. You shall have favor. You will be beautified. There is opportunities for you left and right. Everywhere you go, you shall be blessed. There is, by all means, brothers and sisters, there is a huge, huge benefit when we live by faith. God wants to bless us. God wants. This is how it was designed to be since the very beginning, since the days of Adam and Eve. It's all by design. This is the just. This is how we ought to live. A victorious life. A blessed life. And for closing, I would like to close with Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. May I have that, please? The word of the Lord says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. This is God. This is the promises of God. All the promises of God for the believer, for those who live by faith. This is God's promise for all of us. Simply rejoice in the Lord and glorify his holy name, because he will clothe you with salvation, with blessing, with righteousness. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for your holy word. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. And thank you, Lord, for being with us every step of the way. And Lord, I pray that we will have faith in your word and all that you have said, knowing, Lord, that you will come through for us, knowing, Lord, that you want the best outcome for us, even though we might not even know what that outcome is. But you know, Lord, and it requires faith from us to activate this. I pray, Lord, that every single one of us will live continually by this faith, knowing that you are a righteous God, knowing, Lord, that you have our best interest in mind, that you don't overlook or oversee anything, but you are involved in every single intimate detail of our lives. Thank you, Lord, that the battle is already won through you. And may we live, Lord, a righteous life every single day. A life, Lord, sacrificial unto you. May we put you first above every single thing. Thank you, Lord, for your many promises. Thank you, Lord, for clothing us with your righteousness and your grace and your love. Lord, thank you. We worship you, Lord, and we love you. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.